Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 6, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Markets close out a volatile week following yesterday's 3.5% plunge on Wall Street.
Investors brace for the April jobs report.
A former Fed vice chair says short-term rates need to triple from current levels.
And the airline industry urges the Biden administration to drop the COVID test mandate.
It would be the largest rent hike in years for New York City apartments, plus a historic hire for the new White House press secretary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashtower in sports. Rangers beat the Penguins to tie the series at one. An amazing comeback win by the Mets in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 95, and NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 3.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.72%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.76 at $110.03 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we close out this volatile week following two consecutive days of 3% moves in the markets. A day after stocks surged on a less hawkish Fed, the S&P 500 fell 3.6% and the NASDAQ plummeted 5%. Jimmy Lee is CEO at Wealth Consulting Group.
Retail investors are starting to get nervous. And of course, these last 2 days of volatility, I think reminding some people of what it was like March of 2020, and maybe those have been around a little longer, maybe the financial crisis.
Wealth Consulting Group CEO Jimmy Lee made the comments on Bloomberg Business Week. You can hear that show weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. We also got reaction on the sell-off from Charles Schwab Chief Market Strategist Liz Ann Saunders.
I don't think the market is yet priced in recession risk. I think the market is still making an assumption that we have a soft landing. I just think the needle is pointed a bit more toward recession than soft landing, and we may not be through that re-rating process yet.
Liz Ann Saunders with Charles Schwab says yesterday's economic data showing labor costs surging and productivity dropping contributed to the sell-off.
And Nathan, we get another key economic reading later this morning. The April jobs report, economists forecast, call for a gain of 380,000 non-farm payrolls and an unemployment rate of 3.5%. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
One key question the April jobs report may answer, are we running out of people to hire? After months of luring sidelined workers back into the labor force, companies are beginning to suggest the post-pandemic hiring spree is waning. This week's ISM Manufacturing and Services Employment Indexes both slowed. The ADP payroll report Wednesday was surprisingly soft. If employment growth starts to ease, that may push unemployment down and wages up, which sets up an interesting situation for the Fed. Rising wages suggest an inflation problem continues. But low unemployment coupled with record levels of job openings gives the Fed the opportunity to raise interest rates without doing as much damage to the overall economy. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Stay with Bloomberg throughout the morning for complete analysis of the jobs report. We speak live with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh coming up at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, ahead of that, Karen, we're hearing from another former Fed official on policy. Former Vice Chair Richard Claritas says the central bank will need to raise short-term interest rates to at least 3.5% to bring inflation under control. We get the details on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Clarida's remarks came in a speech to a Hoover Institute conference. He said the funds rate will ultimately need to be raised well into restrictive territory by at least a percentage point above the estimated nominal neutral rate of 2.5%. Clarida left the Fed in January. On Wednesday, the Fed raised its target range for the federal funds rate by a half percentage point. It also said ongoing increases are likely, and it announced a plan to start reducing its big balance balance sheet next month. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Now to the latest on the war in Ukraine. More civilian evacuations are expected from Mariupol, but Ukrainian defenders are refusing to surrender the giant steel plant that's been under relentless attack from Russia for weeks. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We would still assess that the Ukrainians are putting up a very stiff resistance and that the Russians have not made the progress that we believe they expected to make by this point.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says the battle is far from over. Meantime, speculation grows that Vladimir Putin wants a major battlefield victory in time for World War II-era Victory Day commemorations. First Lady Jill Biden is headed to Eastern Europe. She'll meet with U.S. troops and Ukrainian mothers and children in Romania and spend Mother's Day with displaced families in Slovakia.
Turning to the pandemic now, Karen, we're seeing the travel industry put new pressure on COVID policies. It wants the Biden administration to modify testing mandates for international flyers. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Airlines, along with travel groups, want to begin allowing vaccinated people to fly into the U.S. without first testing negative for COVID. This coalition includes more than 250 travel groups and businesses, including airports. They say the recovery in the international travel market is down about 78% from 2019 and say medical advancements can support it. Other countries, including the UK, Germany, and Canada, have already dropped that mandate. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Meantime, Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine is under scrutiny. U.S. regulators are placing limits on the shot, and we get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The FDA is limiting the use of the J&J shot to adults for whom other shots are not medically appropriate or available. The agency is also allowing those who would otherwise not get immunized against the virus to take J&J's single-shot vaccine. The FDA made the decision to limit the authorized use of J&J shot after investigating reported cases of blood clots in people who had taken the vaccine. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 71. NASDAQ futures are lower by 58 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 10/32nd now. The yield, 3.07% on the 10-year note. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 58 degrees in Central Park. Lots of problems on the roads this morning, including an overturned vehicle on the northbound Deegan by Van Cortlandt Park South. We'll get more for you in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. It would be the largest rent increase for New York City apartments in about 10 years. A preliminary vote by the New York City Rent Guidelines Board last night proposed the hike for rent-stabilized apartments. It proposed a rent increase of 2-4% for one-year leases and 4-6% in an increase for two-year leases. A final vote is expected at the end of May. Connecticut Democratic Governor Ned Lamont signed a law designed to protect people who provide an abortion and are then sued in another state. In a Twitter message, Lamont says it was a bill he was eager to sign.
I think you've heard a lot about what's coming out of the Supreme Court and a preliminary ruling that looks like they may be on the edge of ending a woman's right to choose and ending a Roe v. Wade. That's not going to happen in the state of Connecticut, not as long as I'm here. No politicians are going to get between you and your doctor. You make the choice.
Governor Lamont says the law is set to take effect on July 1st. The measure was prompted by a law in Texas that allows private citizens to take civil action to enforce its ban on abortion. U.S. Chief Justice John Roberts called the leak of a draft of a Supreme Court abortion opinion this week absolutely appalling. Roberts told a judicial conference in Atlanta the person responsible would be foolish to think that the disclosure will affect the court's handling of the case. Karine Jean-Pierre will replace Jen Psaki as White House press secretary. Jean-Pierre is the first black person and openly LGBTQ person to hold the position.
It is an honor and a privilege to be behind this podium in about a week or so when Jen is ready. And that that is something that I will honor and do my best to represent this president and this first lady the best that I can, but also the American people.
Incoming press secretary Jean-Pierre will take over after Psaki leaves on May 13th. SpaceX has returned with four astronauts from the International Space Station. Dragon Endurance splashed down just after midnight off the Florida coast. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. Rangers and Penguins back at the Garden after the Marathon Game 1. Like that one, Rangers scored first. Unlike that one, they kept the lead. Beat Pittsburgh 5-2, five different goal scorers. Andrew Kopp off an Artemi Panarin pass. Ryan Strome deflected it in, and Adam Fox shot on the power play. Chris Kreider deflected in a Frank Vetrano shot. Then in third period, Panarin and Vetrano scored themselves. For Igor Shesterkin, after 79 saves the other night, 39 more. Game 3 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. The other game saw wins for Florida, Dallas, and Colorado. The Mets in Philadelphia, and a lot of fans, no doubt, turned this game off. Phillies led 7-0, 7-1 in the ninth inning.
Here is Marte now. Nimmo, good lead at first. The pitch, swinging a high fly ball. Left center field, pretty deep. It's got some legs back near the wall. It's in for a hit. Mets are going to take the lead. Nimmo around third, coming home. He scores standing. Double for Marte. 8-7 New York. Holy shnikes. The Mets with a 7-run ninth inning at Citizens Bank Park.
Howie Rose, WCBS. 7 runs on 8 hits. They scored 4 times with 2 outs. Third time in franchise history they've won when trailing by 6 in the ninth. NBA playoffs resume tonight. Philadelphia trails Miami 2-0, hoping to get Joel Embiid out of concussion protocol. Phoenix up 2-0, Game 3 in Dallas. The Celtics hope to have Marcus Smart back for their Game 3 tomorrow in Milwaukee. Memphis will be without its second-leading scorer tomorrow at Golden State. Dylan Brooks suspended for his hit of Gary Payton, resulted in Payton's broken elbow. John Stash, that were Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 14 points. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures down 61 points. Adding to the declines after yesterday's more than 3.5% sell-off for the S&P 500. Of course, that came after the big surge following the Fed decision. We will look at these volatile markets next with Ben Laidler of eToro. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Occasional rain today with highs in the low 60s. The rain continues tomorrow, cooler with highs in the low 50s. Showers possible for Mother's Day, upper 50s. Right now, 58 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are sliding with bonds and the dollar rising as inflation, rising borrowing costs, and China's COVID lockdowns depress sentiment. European stocks are extending their losses, falling more than 1% and are set for the worst weekly drop in 2 months. U.S. stock index futures are lower. This after the S&P 500 fell more than 3.5% yesterday and the NASDAQ lost 5%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 19 points this morning. Futures down 114. NASDAQ futures down 77. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. The 10-year Treasury down 10/32. Yield 3.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.72%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.9%, up $2 at $110.24 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.60 at $18.81.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0559 against the dollar. British pound 1.2339. The yen at 130.45. And Bitcoin this morning lower, down 0.8% at $36,175. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian fighters battling Russian forces in the tunnels beneath Mariupol's steel plant are refusing to surrender. The battle is unfolding in the last Ukrainian stronghold of the strategic port city. The FDA has limited the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine to people 18 and older. It comes after an investigation of rare and potentially deadly blood clots related to the J&J single-shot vaccine. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers beat the Penguins 5-2 to even their series at a game apiece. The Capitals lost to the Panthers 5-1. That series also even at a game apiece. In baseball, the Mets won, scoring 7 runs in the ninth against the Phillies to win it. The Orioles won. The Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we get ready to close out a very volatile week for markets. We're joined this morning by Ben Laidler, global market strategist at eToro. Ben, good morning. Of course, the old saying is what goes up must come down, but the down just doesn't show sign of stopping, at least this morning. Where do you see bottom?
The risk of tempting providence, I don't think we're far away. I mean, so the market, the Fed has markets in a really tight vise here. By pushing up interest rates, they're pushing down equity valuations and they're raising recession risks, and clearly that's a pretty toxic mix for markets. But I think we're pretty close to sort of peak fear here. We've got inflation running at 8.5%, and we've got an inflation report next week, which I think is going to show a fairly sharp deceleration in inflation. And markets are already expecting interest rates to go all the way up to 3.5%, which is very, very aggressive. And we've got a jobs report today, which is probably going to show the smallest number of new jobs in a year. So I think the recipe or the way out of this is not that it all becomes sweetness and light overnight. I think it just becomes a little bit less bad because I think markets have priced an awful lot in here. So I'll be looking for the jobs report. I'll be looking for inflation next week to be a little bit less bad and to begin to show us some of this relief from markets that are already very stressed.
Well, what do you make of the volatility that we've seen just this week, Ben? As you mentioned, a lot of the pricing had been placed in terms of aggressive rate hikes from the Fed. What do you make of the reaction?
I think it tells you how nervous markets are. I think it tells you that we are in this new investing world, which people are still sort of grappling with, sort of higher interest rates, higher volatility, and lower growth and lower returns. This is very, very different from the last few years. And I think to navigate that, investors need to own very different things from what they've owned over the last few years. I think the rally on Wednesday was overdone. And I would also just maybe look overseas. The UK yesterday, I think, you know, by saying, by explicitly forecasting a stagflation regime of a recession by the end of the year and 10% inflation is a little bit the sort of everyone's worst nightmare. And I think, you know, had a disproportionate impact for worried investors.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit in terms of different things investors should own. What are those different things? Is the old Tina era of there is no alternative to stocks over now?
Right. So what's going on here? This is all about valuations. Earnings are absolutely fine. We're seeing first quarter earnings right now. They're up 10% in the US. They're up 35% in Europe. They're, every single sector is beating expectations. You know, we all know the couple of big stocks that have missed, but overall, earnings are absolutely fine. This is all about valuations. The higher interest rates go, the higher bond yields go, the lower valuations become. So you need to go where valuations are the lowest. That protects you from these valuations falling. So that is energy, financials, defensives. It's not tech. And you need to go where the earnings growth visibility is the highest. Who can best navigate this environment of slowing growth and high inflation? And that is a lot of these sort of traditional defensives, the utilities, the consumer staples, the healthcare names. Again, it's probably not the tech names where you've made all your money over the last few years.
You got about a minute left here, Ben, but if we have tighter financial conditions persisting like we're seeing at least on this session, how does that affect the Fed going forward? Do we continue with front-loaded interest rate hikes?
So I'd say two things. One, the Fed is trying to catch up, which is why we're seeing 50 basis points a meeting. But the tighter financial conditions are now, and they are tightening with the equity correction, with positive real yields, with over 5% mortgage rates, it means that the Fed needs to do less of the heavy lifting going forward. So painful as it may be, we should actually probably be welcoming tighter financial conditions now rather than later.
Great to get your thoughts this morning, Ben. Thanks for being with us. Ben Laidler, global market strategist at eToro. Looking ahead to the market open after the big sell-off yesterday, more selling expected today with S&P futures now down 22 points. Dow futures down 141. NASDAQ futures are lower by 84 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32nds now with the yield 3.07%. The yield on the two-year, 2.72%. Straight ahead, more on this market volatility, and we look ahead to the April jobs report as we check your top stories of the morning on this Friday. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, occasional rain with highs in the low 60s today. We'll be in the low 50s tomorrow with rain continuing and more showers possible for Mother's Day. Highs in the upper 50s. Right now, 58 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Futures are lower this morning after back-to-back days of volatile trading. The market surged Wednesday after Chair Jay Powell said the Fed was not considering a 75 basis point hike. Then came yesterday's sell-off. The NASDAQ dropped 5% and the S&P 500 slipped more than 3.5%.
And investors today will react to the April jobs report, Karen. The median forecast is a gain of 380,000 non-farm payrolls and a 3.5% unemployment rate. Megan Green is global chief economist at Kroll.
More importantly, unemployment is probably going to tick down even further. And crucially, I think the participation rate will tick up as workers jump back into the labor force.
Kroll global chief economist Megan Green spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And stick with Bloomberg throughout the morning for complete analysis of the jobs report. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh joins us at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
Turning to the White House now, Karen, President Biden met with a group of labor organizers yesterday, including a former Amazon worker who led a drive for a union on Staten Island. Christian Smalls spoke about the meeting with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
You know, it's great to see that he still recognizes that, you know, we have to have some regulations with the company as far as unionizing.
Former Amazon worker Christian Small speaking with Emily Chang on Bloomberg Technology. That show airs weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television, and it's available as a podcast on Apple, Spotify, and other platforms.
Well, politics also in focus overseas, Nathan. First Lady Jill Biden will meet with U.S. troops and displaced Ukrainian families in Eastern Europe this weekend. In Ukraine, civilian evacuations are planned from Mariupol as holdout fighters battle Russian forces in the steel plant.
And in COVID news, Karen, another blow to Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. U.S. regulators are placing limits on it. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The FDA is limiting the use of the J&J shots to adults for whom other vaccines are not medically appropriate or available. The agency is also allowing those who would otherwise not get immunized against the virus to take the J&J single shot vaccine. The FDA made the decision after investigating reported cases of blood clots in people who had taken the shot. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, futures are lower with S&P futures down about 18 points, Dow futures down 107, and NASDAQ futures down 68. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're 58 degrees in Central Park. We've got multiple accidents in the Bronx. Peter Van will have the details on those for you. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It would be the largest rent increase for New York City apartments in about 10 years. A preliminary vote by the New York City Rent Guidelines Board last night proposed the hike for rent-stabilized apartments. It proposed a rent increase of 2 to 4% for one-year leases and a 4 to 6% increase for two-year leases. Neither tenants nor landlords were satisfied with the outcome. Tenants say it's too much. Landlords say the hike's not enough. A final vote is expected at the end of May. Connecticut Democratic Governor Ned Lamont signed a law designed to protect people who provide an abortion and are then sued in another state. In a Twitter message, Lamont says it was a bill he was eager to sign.
I think you've heard a lot about what's coming out of the Supreme Court and a preliminary ruling that looks like they may be on the edge of ending a woman's right to choose and ending a Roe v. Wade. That's not going to happen in the state of Connecticut, not as long as I'm here. No politicians are going to get between you and your doctor. You make the choice.
The law is set to take effect on July 1st. The measure was prompted by a law in Texas that allows private citizens to take civil action to enforce its ban on abortion. Karine Jean-Pierre will replace Jen Psaki as White House press secretary, becoming both the first black person and openly LGBTQ person to hold the position. Jean-Pierre currently is Psaki's principal deputy. Psaki spoke at the top of the White House press briefing on Jean-Pierre.
I'm just so grateful to have had Karine by my side for this over the last 15 months, and I just can't wait to see her shine at the podium.
Jen Psaki's last day is May 13th. It is home sweet home for the four astronauts who spent 6 months orbiting the International Space Station.
It's been an absolute honor to support you on your mission, Endurance crew, and thanks for flying SpaceX.
The crew aboard the SpaceX Dragon capsule splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico just off the Florida coast shortly after midnight Eastern time. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashower with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Rangers were already having a strong season when they acquired two players before the trade deadline. And last night, Andrew Kopp scored the first goal, Frank Vetrano the last one. In between, goals by Ryan Strome, Chris Kreider, and Artemi Panarin. Rangers came back from that triple overtime loss in Game 1. They beat the Penguins at the Garden 5-2. The game was three periods, not six. So Igor Shesterkin made 39 saves, not 79 like he had the other night. Game 3 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Colorado won in overtime for a 2-0 lead on Nashville. Florida beat Washington. Dallas shut out Calgary. Both those series are now tied at 1. The last 857 times that a Major League team went to the ninth inning trailing by 6 runs or more, their record was 0-857. But the Mets did something they've done only twice before, never since 1997. They went to the ninth, trailing the Phillies 7-1, and they scored 7 runs on 8 hits, and they won 8-7. Francisco Lindor got things going with a 2-run homer.
A great team win, extremely special. The way everybody believed in each other, pushed each other, counted on each other, special for sure. You know, team wins like this, they add up throughout the course of the year, and they're huge. They're huge for a ball club.
Brandon Nimmo's two-run double tied the game. Nimmo then scored the go-ahead run on Starling Marte's second hit of the inning. Phil's manager Joe Girardi said later, this is as tough as it gets. Yankees, winners of 11 of the last 12, back home tonight. They'll have Garrett Cole on the mound against the Texas Rangers. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Jenna Bush Hager, today's show host and daughter of former President George W. Bush, is listing her New York City apartment for $5.4 million. The Tribeca condo and a boutique building with interiors designed by Annabelle Seldorf's firm spans about 2,500 square feet with four bedrooms. A beachfront home in Southampton appraised at $63 million, half of an estate marketed as La Dune, has landed in bankruptcy court just days before a foreclosure auction. The house at 366 Gin Lane is in proceedings from an unpaid $26 million mortgage that has ballooned to about $40 million. Citibike's next-generation electric models will start appearing in docks across the bike-sharing network this week. With a silver frame and an LCD screen on the handlebars, the new bikes are a noticeable upgrade from the standard cobalt blue two-wheelers seen on the city streets. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how many new hires simply never show up for the first day of work.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Global food prices holding near a record on the war in Ukraine.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing plans to relocate its headquarters from Chicago to the Washington, D.C. area.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Conservatives losing key councils in Wandsworth and Barnet in local elections after the Tory scandal over Partygate and the cost of living crisis.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Michigan is still in the running for a new Stellantis electric vehicle battery plant.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Much as expected, the Federal Reserve recently raised its policy interest rate by half a percentage point. With inflation high, the move makes sense. However, the Fed needs to improve its messaging. Specifically, it should clarify its position on the neutral rate of interest, which is rapidly becoming investors' new fixation. The central bank's current ambiguous approach has invited confusion and led some observers to believe the Fed has an arbitrary endpoint for interest rates. It doesn't, or anyway shouldn't. Rates should be adjusted to keep demand on track. Changing conditions will dictate what that requires. The Fed will need luck as well as skill to engineer a soft landing. But its job would be a bit easier if it directed investors' attention away from imaginary targets and toward what's actually happening to the economy. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Futures moving lower with S&P futures down 15 points now. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures lower by 60 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 10 32nds. The yield 3.07%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, occasional rain today with highs in the low 60s. The rain continues tomorrow, low 50s for highs. We'll be in the upper 50s for Mother's Day with more showers. Right now, 58 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are sliding with bonds, and the dollar is rising as inflation, rising borrowing costs, and China's COVID lockdowns depress sentiment. European stocks extending their losses. They're falling more than 1% and set for the worst weekly drop in 2 months. U.S. futures are lower this after the S&P 500 fell more than 3.5% yesterday, and the NASDAQ lost 5%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 10 points, Dow futures down 49, NASDAQ futures down 43, the DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury down 10 32nds, yield 3.07%, yield on the 2-year 2.73%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2%, up $2.19 at $110.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up a third of a percent or $6.30 at $18.82 an ounce. The euro 1.0568 against the dollar, British pound 1.2335. The yen at 130.54, and Bitcoin this morning, it's lower, down about 0.25% at $36,360. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The 9 Supreme Court justices have been given extra security as general threats against them have increased. It comes just a few days after Politico reported a leaked draft opinion showing the conservative majority is likely going to overturn Roe v. Wade. The office of Ukraine's president says about 500 civilians from Mariupol were evacuated in the most recent operations organized by the UN and Red Cross. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers beat the Penguins 5-2 to even their series at a game apiece. The Capitals lost to the Panthers. That series also even at a game apiece. In baseball, the Mets and Orioles won, the Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Friday, we are less than 3 hours away from getting the April payrolls report. Let's get a preview now. Sarah House is with us this morning, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Sarah, good to speak with you. The median estimate is 380,000 new payrolls and a 3.5% unemployment rate. The Fed's called this an ultra-tight labor market. How do you see it?
I think every way you look at it, this labor market is exceptionally tight, and I think we'll see further evidence of that in today's payroll report. So we're expecting a below consensus gain in terms of non-farm payroll, so just 300,000. But I think that's still going to be enough to see the unemployment rate tick down to 3.5%. And then I think probably most importantly is what happens with wages, just given the inflation pressures that we're seeing in the economy. And there we expect another decent gain of 0.4%, which is going to keep the pressure on for the Fed when it looks at how tight that labor market is and what it means for its price stability mandate.
Well, where do you see the unemployment rate going from here? Is there further room for this unemployment rate to fall even more?
There's absolutely further room for it to fall further. So we're expecting at the end of the year, it'll probably be roughly 3.3%. And there's potentially even some downside risk to that, depending on what happens on the supply side. So we've seen the labor force exits of retirement age workers have proved very sticky. Now, some of those have been pulled forward, so that should help participation for that age group. But when you couple that with just the sheer demographics of the U.S., the fact that prime age labor force growth is substantially slower. Given this level of demand for workers, we think that the unemployment rate can certainly move lower and hit levels that we haven't seen in more than 50 years.
Which potentially feeds into the case for higher wage pressures. Where do you see those going, and what does it mean for the Fed's fight against inflation?
So we think wage pressures are going to remain very strong overall, continuing to pressure the Fed on its inflation mandate. But we do see some signs of maybe wages starting to moderate a little bit. So if you look at the NFIB small business survey, we've seen compensation plans have come down over the past few months. And when you look at even some of the indicators of job demand, so things like the job openings rate, Indeed job postings, we have seen those flatten out a bit. So still exceptionally high, but no longer rising as quickly as it was at the end of last year. And so I think that does suggest that we are seeing a little bit better balance between supply and demand in the labor market. And we think that's going to take a little bit of the heat off of wages. But, you know, don't confuse that with wage growth getting back down to levels that are consistent with 2% inflation anytime soon.
Is that case going to take the heat off the Fed's tightening path?
I don't think so. I think it will maybe help them from having to go even more hawkish in terms of their outlook and their tightening plans. But I think it still keeps them on this very hawkish path where we're not done seeing 50 basis point rate hikes anytime soon.
So do you think the Fed is sacrificing the maximum employment mandate to tackle inflation, or do the two go together?
The two absolutely go together, given that we have this very tight labor market and we are seeing very strong wage pressures coming from the labor market that is feeding inflation and is bringing a more persistent source of inflation beyond just these supply shocks and some of the pandemic distortions related to spending patterns. And so, you know, Powell's in some ways, he's tiptoed around it a little bit, but they do need to see, I think, the labor market and job growth weaken to an extent to relieve some of those wage pressures to help on its price stability mandate.
So in the last 30 seconds here, where do you see this April jobs report having any impact on what the Fed does from here? Does this one report have any impact?
So I think it'll determine the direction and help in with how fast the Fed has to go. But I don't think that this really knocks them off course of what they've telegraphed for the near term. So I think it's one piece, but I think we're still looking at another 50 basis point hike at the June meeting and quite possibly another one in July as well.
Thanks for this, Sarah. Good having you on with us. Sarah House, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And on 5:53 on Wall Street, it's time for another legal story we're watching this morning. A leaked first draft of a majority Supreme Court opinion overturning Roe v. Wade and a woman's constitutional right to an abortion has progressives fearing the conservative majority could use the same reasoning to target LGBTQ, contraceptive, and other rights. The opinion's disapproval of a broad understanding of a constitutional right to privacy makes a host of other rights, from sexual relations to marriage to procreation, vulnerable. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Stephen Vladeka, professor at the University of Texas Law School.
Alito attempts to distinguish abortion from other rights grounded in the constitutional right to privacy. But does his reasoning jeopardize other protections that are not, quote, deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition?
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. Yes, Alito says I'm only talking about abortion, but the grounds that he deploys for justifying the overruling of Roe and Casey are grounds that are not limited to abortion. And this notion that, you know, rights have to be deeply rooted in our history and tradition to be recognized by the Supreme Court would call into question a whole lot of things that Alito says he's not calling into question. Things like bans on interracial marriage, bans on same-sex marriage, bans on homosexual sodomy. I mean, there's a lot, June, here that if you take the reasoning seriously as opposed to the rhetoric, could be vulnerable. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, overnight, you know, the Supreme Court's going to start overruling those cases, too. You'd have to have first states that tried to scale back these protections, that tried to sort of restore bans on certain kinds of intimate conduct or gay marriage. But, you know, June, I live in Texas. It's not hard to imagine elected officials in states like mine that are going to be pretty aggressive. I mean, just the other day, Governor Abbott, right, Texas's governor, talked about trying to push the Supreme Court to revisit a 1982 decision, recognizing the right of the children of undocumented immigrants to go to public school. So it's really hard to take seriously the protestations in the draft opinion and in by some who are defending it that this is only going to be about abortion. Once you've crossed the Rubicon, once you've shown that you're willing to overrule cases like Roe and Casey simply because you don't believe those rights are deeply rooted in our country's history, I don't know what the stopping point is, other June than politics.
What's the next battle line? Some are saying that medication abortion would be the next battleground.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to see multiple battlegrounds at once. Medication abortion is going to be one front in the war. I think we're going to see states try to make it unlawful for their residents to travel out of state to obtain abortion, so that we're going to have a fight over whether states can limit their own residents from leaving the state to go to states that will still have abortions after this decision. And so on the abortion front, I think that's where the fight will be joined. But I also think, as you know, we talked about with regard to Governor Abbott, we're going to see efforts by other, especially red states, to push the envelope and to see what other rights the court is willing to reconsider. Because the one undeniable thing about a ruling like the draft opinion, if that becomes the law of the land, is it's basically an invitation to court and to state to be cynical and to be political and to push the court to actually revisit these rights one at a time in a way that would not have been true without this kind of decision.
And that's Stephen Vladeka, professor at the University of Texas Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Again, futures lower this morning. S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures down 46. And the 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.72%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.